Will you turn with me, please, to the 13th chapter of Mark's Gospel? Mark chapter 13, and reading from verse 28 to 31. This is another section that we have in this chapter, which focuses upon the last days. There are prophecies and predictions in this chapter. Some of these refer to more near events, the destruction of Jerusalem, others to the end times, culminating in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is, of course, a theme of watchfulness. Verse 28 of Mark 13, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass, till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Well, throughout this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about coming events. On the one hand, he focuses on a not too distant occurrence or event, particularly those surrounding the destruction of Jerusalem, which took place under the Romans in 70 AD. There were many lives lost. It was entirely destructive, and it was the end of the temple. This is how the whole discussion had begun, right at the beginning of chapter 13, about remarks about how wonderful the temple was and how permanent it seemed to be. "Not so," says Jesus. And it leads to this prediction, this nearer fulfillment of the destruction of Jerusalem, 70 AD. On the other hand, Jesus' eye is fixed upon other events than just this forthcoming destruction of Jerusalem, which would be no doubt within the lifetime of many people who were listening to him. And his eyes were fixed on the future of the world, events of the last times. The last times being taken as those days between his ascension and the second coming, his second coming, which is the final act in human history as we know it. And he describes these as tribulation. And he describes also not only the tribulations that would be characteristic of these last times, but the very end as well, when he will return, which we believe is the principal focus of verses 24 to 27. There will be final judgment. So what is his purpose in this teaching? Well, there must be a threefold purpose in this teaching. First of all, there is a purpose to inform those who were listening to him and to inform us who are still living in the last days. But also, in the second place, there is a purpose to encourage believers always to be ready and to fix their eye upon the second coming of the Lord and not to be so taken up with the things of this earth that they neglect them. It's to encourage believers in the life of faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of it. But then there is a third purpose, surely, and that is to warn unbelievers, those who have not yet come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to warn them of how transient life is, how temporary things are. Our time here is so limited. And hey, listen, be wise and seek the Lord. There is a warning to unbelievers, just as is as an encouragement to believers. A warning that they ought to come to repent of sin and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, without which there is no hope for heavenly glory. We don't have, of course, any precise timing of the very end when Jesus will come again. We read this in verses 32, 37. Jesus speaks there, won't deal with it at this point, but he says there in these verses, no man knows the end. We don't know. But in other parts of the scriptures, we're told that it could happen at any time. It is like a thief in the night. And people have to be ready all the time in case Jesus should come within their own lifetime, which is never to be seen as something that is impossible. One thing is certain, we are all hastening on. We are all hastening on to that date with death. And at death, the die is cast. Our never dying souls will go to their own place, either on the part of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be with him and all the redeemed, waiting for that last day when there will be the judgment and the resurrection of the bodies when he comes again, or else to be in that place of banishment and lostness on the part of those who have had no interest in Christ, have no faith in him, have no trust in his mercy. Well, in the parable of verses 28 to 31, Jesus provides a picture intended to bring this message home to his hearers. This is a picture of a fig tree. And the challenging question comes with persistence. When we look at this, when we look at this passage, friend, beloved, are you ready for the end? Are you ready for the end of your life? Are you prepared? And that is the same as asking, is your heart right with God? So there is a persistent encouragement to watchfulness in view of future events, the timing of which we are not aware. There are certain events, no doubt, that we look forward to. People often look forward to holidays. Children may look forward to going to school. People may look forward to their birth dates. There are certain events, however, that we do not look forward to and approach with dread. Maybe examinations, maybe going to school, I don't know. Maybe the dentist's chair. Don't want to be trivial, but there are things we don't look forward to in this life. And it's not as though you give those things little thought. You go through your days and there are things you're looking forward to and there are things that you're dreading during the course of your weeks. You give thought to these things. So much the more should we give thought to the things that Jesus is speaking about here in this chapter. Thought to the preparation for those things which are infinitely more important than anything of this world, however heavy the responsibility there may be attaching to them. So let's consider this parable, this brief parable, which in some ways summarizes what we have in this chapter in relation to these predictions of the nearer events. This is the destruction of Jerusalem, for which they should be prepared, but the more important and further issues of the tribulations of the last days and the second coming of the Lord. Well, two things. We're to be watchful for signs of the end. 28 and 29. Learn the parable of the fig tree. When a branch is yet tender, putteth forth leaves, you know that the summer is near. So ye in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Is using the illustration from nature to lift their minds, to stir their hearts into the things which are far more important and serious. Now, the fig tree was very common in Israel. We don't have any fig trees, as far as I know, in Britain. There are other things that are very common, I suppose, when we look around us in this area. We can't help seeing all the heather or the gorse bushes. And there are certain signs in these things of better weather or warmer weather or sunny weather or summer. Unlike our gorse bushes, the fig tree shed its leaves in the winter time and put forth its leaves in the summer time. When you're in places like the Middle East, you don't recognise so much of a difference between the seasons as perhaps we do, slightly more northerly latitude. But nevertheless, this was the case. In Luke, he says all the trees as well. And it's not just thinking of the fig tree, but in the winter time, the trees shed their leaves. And the deciduous trees do that with us as well. They shed their leaves. And you know it's winter because the leaves are shed. And you know that summer is coming when you see the shoots coming through. When the leaves start to bud, the tree is giving a message. And the message the tree is giving is, well, the night frost is past. The summer is coming. The summer is here. We perhaps notice this with certain things, flowers and the like, and even the gorse with these beautiful, beautiful yellow flowers. You know that summer is here. Well, Jesus is teaching that there will be signs of the end, of which you are to be watchful and aware. He said to the Pharisees that he would only give them one sign. He would give them the sign of Jonah, pointing to his coming death and resurrection. That's what the sign of Jonah did. Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, the whale, whatever it was, pointing forward to the experience of the Lord in his death and resurrection. We have this in Matthew 12:39. In another place he rebukes them, these Pharisees, for being able to discern the sky and the weather that they could predict, though they were unable, he says, to read the signs of the times. You're aware of what's going on in the weather around you, but you're not reading the signs of the times, what's going on in society, in the spiritual realm, and the fulfillment of the prophetic scriptures. So what about the sign of the fig tree putting forth its leaves as a sign of summer? What is the picture there intended to convey to us? Well, we're told in verse 29, so you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. What does that mean? Well, these things, of course, have to do with what he has spoken of before in this chapter, down to verse 27. That is to say, the signs of the end of the age, of being in the end of the age, being in the last times. This period between the ascension of Jesus and the second coming, bearing in mind that you cannot tell, or you do not know exactly when the second coming is going to happen. It all leads up to that second coming. This second coming, this is the glorious summer for the believing people of God. So what are we looking for specifically? Well, you must be sensitive to things happening in the world around you. You must ask yourself, what are these saying about the end of all things? In truth, there are such signs in every age, such signs of the impermanence of things. Such signs that this world is under a curse and it is going to come to an end one of these days. And no doubt, the fact that there really are these signs throughout this period will always remind people who are aware that they ought to be ready and prepared because they don't know what a day is going to bring forth. You to recognize a sign of the times in the rise of false Christs, among other things. Verses 21 and 22 here. There are wars and rumors of wars. He mentioned those in verse 7. That we have these in abundance. Are there famines and earthquakes? He mentions these in verse 8. Yes, there are famines and earthquakes. We hear of these often. No doubt we hear of them far more than any generations have ever done before because of our communications. In our society, are there signs of the times? Well, there are signs of the times. There is this oppression of Christianity in our society. We've had examples of this just this past week, of the threat and oppression of those who wish to maintain Christian principles in a world where anything goes. Legislation concerning inciting to religious hatred, which could well usher in persecution. We don't go with discrimination against people on the grounds of what the colour of their skin is, where they're from, disabilities and the like. But one thing that the Christian holds to is the principles, the moral principles of the Word of God. And they have to say, we must obey God rather than men. And that can be very, very costly. It's a moral issue. And on these moral issues, there is discrimination. The individual discriminates between what is right and what is wrong. On what standard? Not the standards of men, but the standards of God, to whom we are ultimately answerable. We might ask the question, is there false teaching in the churches? This is an implication of what Jesus says in a corresponding passage to this in Matthew 24 and verse 11. And the answer is sadly there is. Where there is a church in which there is denial of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, where there is a denial of the physical bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, where there is a denial of the inspiration and infallibility of Holy Scripture, where there is a denial of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then these churches are false in one way or another. And there can be so much that is soul destroying in what presents itself to be Christian, but ends up to be a denial of it. And the love of many has gone cold. These are general signs. Watch for tribulation experienced by the people of God upon the earth. We have this in verse 14 here, speaking about the tribulation experienced by the people of God widely upon this earth. These are signs. And as we said at the beginning, Jesus in this chapter, he has two points of reference. He's speaking of the near fulfillment, the prediction of the destruction of Jerusalem, but also the last days and the very end he is predicting. And he is inviting watchfulness. And he's inviting watchfulness on our part at two levels. One, to his contemporaries with reference to the prediction of the destruction of Jerusalem, which would have such a huge impact on the nation. And the other, a reference to being watchful concerning his second coming at the very end of history. And it's as if Jesus is using the signs of the pending destruction of Jerusalem, which happened in 70 AD, as a sort of sign of the sort of thing that will happen at the very end time. We know from 2 Peter chapter 3, when he speaks about the second coming of the Lord, he couples it with the destruction that will take place in this world, of course. Something particularly aggravated, obviously, when he does come again. So we're encouraged to watch for signs of the end. We are being encouraged to be always ready. So how are you ready? How are you ready? Today, every day to be ready. Because they say you don't know that Jesus is not going to come again, and how are you, will you be found then as you appear before him? You don't know the day of your death. Death comes very sudden. Death is always sudden. The point of death does not discriminate people, their sex or their age. So how are we ready? There's only one way to be ready. There's only one way to be ready today for what Jesus is speaking about here, and that is to be a converted person, to be a saved soul, to be born again, There's only one way, and that is coming to repent of your sin and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. And it means heeding the gospel. That itself will be a sign, as we read here in verse 10 of this chapter, where he says the gospel must first be published among all nations, the preaching of the gospel into all the world as a witness to all nations. And that too is happening, and it's happening this very morning. In fact, this ties in well with the emphasis of this parable, this picture of the fig tree putting forth its leaves, because Jesus says, you know that summer is near. Though we are careful to watch for the signs in terms of calamities in the earth, this picture points us to the fact of the progressive coming of the kingdom of God in terms of the gospel producing fruit, summer leaves and consequent fruit. What is going on all through this time? And right up to the end, is the gospel bearing fruit in people's lives. This is not a desperate story. It is a realistic one. That look, you've got to realize how fragile things are in this world, that they are not permanent, that they are temporary, that our lives are temporary, that we are going through this life fast. But then, this is the period. This is the end time in which the gospel is spreading, in which the gospel is heard. Then, and where the gospel is heard, it is to be responded to, obviously. And it's the only way that men and women and children are going to be ready for that day when they will leave their bodies behind, or else Christ will come again. And so we could almost put it this way. Are you a fulfillment of this? All those who come to respond to the gospel are a fulfillment of what we have there in verse 10 of this chapter. Have you experienced this summer in your life, the summer of the gospel taking hold of your life and bringing to your life and to your heart a glorious and heavenly hope in the light of how fragile everything is and how temporary everything is? This is a wonderful summer, this bud in a person's life, planted of the Lord and stirred by the Spirit and producing in it spiritual life. Has there been summer fruit in your life in terms of coming to Christ and responding to the gospel? This doesn't apply just to the older people here. It doesn't apply just to the middle-aged people here. It applies also to the children here. What a wonderful thing for a child to come to embrace the gospel and to live their lives out in the hopefulness of it and usefulness of it. You become thereby yourself a sign of the times. Every soul that comes to the Saviour is part of the signs of the times, in terms of the spread of the gospel and the kingdom of the Lord. This is what God is doing amidst all these other signs, these dramatic signs, these tragic signs in nature and among the nations, accompanying things in the end time. It's the only way to be prepared for death and judgment. Make sure these things don't overtake you unprepared. So this is the first point that we take from this, that we are to be watchful for the signs of the end. But then the second thing is this: we are assured that God's word will not fail. We have in verse 30 and 31, verily I say to you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. There is here assurance. Verily, says Jesus, that is a very strong word in the original, which means assuredly, I give you my word on this. You can take this as being the case. And of what is he assuring us? Well, we're assured that all the predictions concerning the end are going to come to pass. They will be fulfilled. Now, some people looking at verse 30 might get a bit confused. Understandably, perhaps, because Jesus says, "Verily I say to you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done." And we might think to ourselves that this means, does this mean that there was a mistaken expectation that all the events described would take place in the lifetime of those to whom Jesus was speaking? And the answer to that is no. It is, of course, true that many of those to whom he was speaking would experience in due time the events concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, AD 70, and he gives practical recommendation, advice, instruction concerning that in this chapter. And that is true. But the explanation is this: this generation may be taken to refer to the generation or generations of the last times. That is to say, of the whole indeterminate period between the ascension and second coming. This is the last generation. The period of fulfilling of all these events. And Jesus is very clear about the certainty of these things, because he emphasizes this truth by saying that heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will not, but will by no means fail. That's what we have in verse 31. Now, this is a great confirmation of the truth of his word. It may be not highly regarded today. I wonder how many people open their Bibles. I wonder how many of yourselves, including you children, open your Bibles every day and read part of the Word of God with that attitude in mind, that this is his Word, that all this around me is going to pass away, but this isn't. The truth that we have there, the message that there is there, that's the permanent thing. It's not the building of the temple, it is the Word, including these predictions that Jesus gives in this chapter. All these predictions that extend to the nearer future of this destruction, and then the further fulfillment in the second coming, when this earth and universe, as we know, will be folded up, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. People often go through their days and lives without opening the book, without thinking to themselves, well, this is the Word. This is the truth of God. It is an abiding Word. It is an infallible Word. It's a Word which includes the teaching that will endure as nothing else will in this world. This is a Word as valid today, as relevant today, as it was when it was first given, because it was given through holy prophets and apostles of old by the Lord himself, who knows the end from the beginning. This applies to the whole Bible. It is something God breathed, and this is what makes it so important. This is why it is important to read this word for yourself, to come to grips with it for yourself, to have it as something that gives you the perspective that you need upon the whole of life and death and eternity, as nothing else does. This is why it's so necessary to receive it, because the truth is not found elsewhere. This is why it is good for you children too to read the Bible and to pray over it, to ask yourself what it means, and to ask the Lord to help you to understand it. Let us put it this way: which is more important? What you have in this world, or what is involved in the next? We are so taken up, and we have responsibilities in relation to God, and the Lord himself puts these upon us, in relation to our families, in relation to our education, in relation to our work situation, in relation to our possessions, in our homes, and the rest of it. And all these things are important to us, and the Lord has laid upon us responsibilities in terms of what we have in this life. But listen, they're going to pass away. They're going to pass away. They're not going to last. You leave them all behind. And the important thing for you and I is just exactly what Jesus says here in verse 31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall in no way shall not pass away. This is the enduring message. This is the word that men and women and children need to know. This is the perspective that men and women ought to have. This is the perspective on life, gives the perspective on life, which makes sense of everything, makes sense of our lives here, makes sense of this world as we look out upon it. Nothing else does this. My word shall not pass away. They will be sure of their fulfillment. We have this perspective beautifully stated in Hebrews, in chapter 13, the last chapter of Hebrews, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Let us go forth unto him without a camp." This is to Jesus bearing his reproach. "Here we have no continuing city." This is encouraging men and women, children, to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, look, why should you be doing this? Why should you be going to Christ? Why should you be putting your trust in him? Well, look, here we have no continuing city. But if we seek one to come, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Oh, pray that the Holy Spirit will bless the word of God to your souls today and every day. And that the Holy Spirit would give you an eagerness to believe it, to receive it, and to apply it day by day. So what is the overall message of this, what is called the parable here? It is this: no generation is exempt from calamities. There will be signs in every age pointing to the end, pointing to the impermanence of things. Correspondingly, there will be the gospel in every age, doing its work in the conversion of sinners and the sanctifying of saints. But listen, there is in all this a warning to be heeded. The end is coming. And the end is closer than we think. And we are to be ready. Of course you are to be ready for death, the time of which you do not know, but for which you have to be prepared. Because there is no repentance in the grave. There is no turning to God in the grave. There is a recognition of him as the rich man found in that parable of rich man and Lazarus. When he died and found himself separated from mercy. And the fact is, if we are overtaken by death or the coming of the Lord unprepared and unaware, well then, we will be lost eternally. It's a thought. This is the significance of the gospel. And the urgency in receiving it, lest being ignorant and careless concerning these things, concerning the signs of the end, we slip away into a lost eternity. The gospel says, consider Christ. It says, receive Christ. It warns, be prepared. It urges, do not hesitate one other moment to come into the safe haven of Christ and his offered salvation. And to believers, in view of these events, in view of the fact that we are in these last times, to believers, Paul writes, writing to the Romans, do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation, in that final sense, the being glorified sense, is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Let us show those who are His, whose we are, and whom we serve, and the fact that we have this perspective on life and eternity. Let us live in the light of it, the light of the view of eternity, showing we have this proper perspective on the passing things of this world. And we have a greater focus on things that will not pass away. Do you have this? Do you have a focus in your life on the things that do not pass away and will not pass away? Not the things that are temporal, but the things that are eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. May the Lord bless His word to us this morning. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, wilt Thou give Thy blessing upon Thy word to us here today, that the Spirit would bring it home to our hearts. And Lord, that we might recognize ourselves to be in such a frail situation and seek the Lord all the more urgently. Give us Thy blessing. It is Thy purpose, Lord, that we should be blessed through the gospel. And we thank Thee for these last days in which the gospel will be preached to all the nations. And we pray for its hastening and for its work in bringing men and women and children to Christ and to a glorious salvation and hope. Hear us, Lord. Forgive us and go with us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.